Welcome to our podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Kehan. Today, we'll be discussing the recently published article by Kang et al., Blood Pressure, BH4, and Vascular NOS Signaling. This article published online ahead of print in the journal on December 10th. Joining us as moderator is David Cass, Senior Associate Editor for AJP Heart and Circ, as well as Jennifer Pollack, lead author of the Kang et al. Study, and Michael Wolin, our expert reviewer. David, Jennifer, Michael, let's get started.
Thank you very much, Kara. So over the past decade or so, a number of studies have shown that a major mechanism for increased vascular tone and high blood pressure lies in the regulation of endothelial nitric oxide synthase by this obligate cofactor known as tetrahydrobiopterin, or BH4. BH4 binds to NOS, and it plays a critical role in the normal coupling of electron transfer within the enzyme so it can form nitric oxide. And BH4 needs to be in this reduced form, so not enough BH4 or too much of it in its oxidized form, known as BH2, will impede normal NOS function. And most of the work that's been done to date has focused on larger arteries, and it's been shown to be important in hypertension, atherosclerosis, even in heart disease. In this new article by Jennifer and colleagues, they're looking at small microvessels and some very intriguing new findings that suggest other therapies we wouldn't have associated with BH4 regulation may indeed be working that way. So, Mike, can you give us a description of sort of the main features of the new work?
Sure. This study builds on previous observations in this model that is uncoupling nitric oxide synthase in small mesenteric resistance arteries, where the vasodilator response shifts over to hydrogen peroxide. Then they go forward with a triple therapy to lower blood pressure with reserpine, hydrochlorothiazide, and hydralazine. And some very interesting consequences come of this. You're seeing a restoration of nitric oxide cyclic GMP signaling. And something unique to this therapy compared to a control biopterin therapy is you see increased activity of GTP cyclohydrolase, which provides tetrahydrobiopterin. So the work kind of leads to many interesting kind of areas where the mechanism needs further studies in terms of lowering blood pressure, in terms of what's going on as you shift from the kind of oxidant state of hypertension to a healthy nitric oxide state, which comes first, restoring nitric oxide biosynthesis or lowering pressure, or do the two work together? There are just many areas which can be dissected in future work.
Jennifer, interested in what made you think to begin with that sort of a standard antihypertension regimen with compounds that aren't necessarily directly targeted or known to be targeted at BH4 might be working through this mechanism?
Well, if I have to be totally honest, we use the triple therapy as a control, if you will, to actually try to get at that question that Mike just talked about, who comes first. And we thought we were using the triple therapy as a non-specific mechanism to lower the blood pressure, and then we'd be able to see blood pressure per se effects versus the BH4 direct effects. And to our surprise, we did find that the BH4 levels were restored, as well as the GTP cyclohydrolase levels were drastically increased with the triple therapy. So it was very intriguing and interesting to us that would happen, especially in the small arteries.
Have you looked at any other antihypertensive regimens? Is this something that's sort of a function of kind of the mechanics of lowering blood pressure, or do you actually think there are more direct mechanisms that relate to the specifics of the therapy that was used?
It's a great question, and we have not looked at any other types of antihypertensive therapies yet. But interestingly, in the literature, there is a paper showing that reserpine, it's actually a pretty old paper, I think about 20 years old, actually, that reserpine directly could increase BH4 levels in neuronal cell cultures. So it was very intriguing to me that reserpine could do that. And so I think what we need to do is to be able to follow up and use each one of these compounds separately and try to figure out if it's only just reserpine or if it's they all have to be in combination. A lot of the literature with using these type of compounds for antihypertensive therapy, a lot of times they do have to be used together. So, but we really would like to be able to figure out which component of the antihypertensive therapy is actually directly influencing the GTP cyclohydrolase.
So one of the other interesting aspects of the study was that this was not a situation where there was BH4 depletion induced by the hypertension model. Actually, the BH4 levels themselves stayed the same, but the relative ratio of the reduced to oxidized form of BH4 to BH2 ratio, as it were, went up and improved whether you gave it exogenously or whether you used the therapy. So what lies at the core of that? And that would not necessarily be what you would predict purely by an increase in BH4 synthesis from GTPCH. So what do you think may be going on there with redox balance?
Right. That was very intriguing to us. That was not a first line thing of what we thought was going to be happening. When we tried to think about that, many things come to mind in relation to how the BH4 and BH2 is working. My co-author, Katuzik's group, are experts in this, and they've published several papers related to some of this, and also Harrison's group and also Keith Channon. Mm-hmm. And so several of the things that are out there is compartmentalization is one thing of the GTP cyclohydrolase. And so therefore, if the BH4 is not available to the NOS, possibly, or becomes more available, either way you want to look at it, less available under the ANG conditions or more available when you treat the animals. And then, of course, there's publications with phosphorylation of GTP cyclohydrolase and GFRP, the feedback protein, as a negative regulator and how it can regulate the GTP cyclohydrolase. So what we're wondering is that possibly there's more to do with this regulation of the GTP cyclohydrolase, and then actual measurements of the BH4 and BH2 is a consequence of that.
In the study itself, the difference between biopterin and the triple therapy will create kind of a difference in redox that may make a major difference in why the cyclohydrolase is increased in activity in the triple therapy. In that, but the biopterin itself may be more like an antioxidant protecting oxidant stress and nitroglycerin stress in the endothelium, whereas the triple therapy itself may be setting the stage to allow the more oxidant conditions to be present, and maybe that's part of why the GTP cyclohydrolase is activated under those conditions.
Jennifer, do you want to comment?
That's an interesting point, and I really appreciate you bringing that up. But one bit of data that kind of swayed us to think that maybe the BH4 wasn't acting as an antioxidant there, because of the data with the BH2 concentrations that are not different between the vessels that were not treated, the hypertensive vessels that were not treated versus the ones that were treated, the BH2 content was the same. So you would think that if the BH4 was acting in an antioxidant way, that the BH2 content would go down, and it didn't. Although I agree that it makes a lot of sense what Mike said, and so that is definitely something to pursue.
Great. So what's next?
So it would be very interesting from a therapy viewpoint that we really want to find out which one of those compounds that we used for the triple therapy, which are all three of them necessary, or is there or only one can do the trick, if you will. And then it would be nice somehow to figure out whether this is solely an endothelial cell effect, or is this endothelial cell and smooth muscle. And then, of course, these are mesenteric small arteries, and the amount of load that they might have, if you're thinking of it from a hypertension point of view, maybe the renal arteries, microarteries, might be a better choice in some people's eyes, or to look at other sources of the blood vessels that could be compared to the mesenteries.
Mesenterics. I want to thank Michael, Jennifer, Kara.
Thanks, Dave. And to our readers, thanks for listening to the AJP Heart and Circ podcast series.